Today, UK levelled down to the ground. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, you may know that I'm here running a project to measure financial stress in the UK using the same methods as in Australia. They are the ones I've been using for the last two decades, and down the track, I'll be able to report and compare data across the country. And this is timely, given that gross domestic output is unlikely to return to its pre-pandemic levels before 2024, according to a just published forecast from the London-based National Institute of Economic and Social Research. And worse, the UK is headed for 5 years of lost economic growth as the government fails in its goal to level up the country's regions and reduce inequality. While output across the country will be lackluster, the NIESR says some regions will feel a sharper pinch. In London, it expects real wages to grow by up to 7% in the 5 years from the end of 2019. But in the West Midlands, home to Britain's third largest city, Birmingham, the NIESR is projecting a 5% drop in inflation-adjusted pay. The broader economy's tepid pace of growth is one of the factors feeding a gap between the rich and the poor, they said. It predicted little real wage growth for low-income households, which also will have to shoulder higher levels of debt as food, energy and housing costs remain historically high. By 2024, the UK's poorest households could be facing a shortfall in the disposable incomes of 17%, relative to 2019, compared to 5% for the richest households, the think tank predicted. Falling real wages, combined with persistent inflation, are hitting the low-income households hardest, said Adrian Pabst, the NIESR's Deputy Director of Public Policy. For some of the poorest in society, coping with low or no real wage growth and persistent inflation has involved new debt to pay for permanently higher housing, energy and food costs. And it's worth noting that according to recent research, spiralling costs and government inertia are blamed for delays in levelling up projects designed to reduce inequality across the country. In fact, analysis shows that the productivity gap grew, their home affordability advantage shrank, and crime statistics were worse and growing in those disadvantaged areas. In fact, overall, more funds flowed into the affluent zones, where incomes are predicted to grow faster in real terms compared with the struggling northern areas. As a result, these areas are being, well, levelled down as the UK's wealth gap is widening. The NIESR forecasts echo the Bank of England's gloom, which said last week that GDP will remain below pre-pandemic levels in the medium term, and both projections are a worrying omen for the ruling Conservative Party as it prepares for a potential general election in 2024. At the time of the last vote in 2019, the then Prime Minister Boris Johnson made levelling up to spread prosperity beyond London one of his key promises. The triple supply shocks of Brexit, COVID, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, together with the monetary tightening that has been necessary to bring inflation down, has badly affected the UK economy, said Stephen Millard, the NIESR's Deputy Director for Macroeconomic Modelling and Forecasting. The NIESR report also chimes with data from Reed Recruitment, which suggests job openings are drying up, increasing the chances that the economy sputters to a halt or even falls into recession later in the year. Addressing the UK's growth issue remains the key challenge facing policymakers as we approach the next election, he said. Growth is being constrained by the fact that the government is now continually spending more than its income, said NIESR's director, Jinik Chadha. He said that reduces the scope for Sunak to offer tax cuts or other sweeteners to voters ahead of the election. Even at full employment, we're regularly running a fiscal deficit, which implies to us that we have a structural fiscal deficit, he said, as the fiscal position is constrained because the financial markets don't want to absorb more debt relative to our lower level of income, the room for manoeuvre will be limited. So any incoming government will have to answer some very hard questions on how it's going to generate growth. The outlook from the think tank for inflation in the UK, which is currently almost four times its target at 7.9%, is actually slightly higher than the Bank of England's, as it expects the consumer price index measure to be rising at an annual rate of 5.2% by the end of the year, compared to the bank's 4.9%, and to fall back to 3.9% by the end of 2024. While the Bank of England's forecast pencils in inflation falling to 2% by the second quarter of 2025, the NIESR thinks CPI will still average 2.3% across 2025 as a whole. Now, there was some good news for households struggling with the cost of living, because they think that nominal earnings will grow by 6% in 2023 and 2024. That, combined with falling inflation, could mean a rise in living standards, with real income growth at about 1.4% over the medium term. But again, we need to go granular, which is where our new survey will assist, because we're already seeing significant contrasts area to area and household to household. But many households are being levelled to the ground as inflation, bad public policy, and higher interest rates hit hard. But of course, not everyone is being impacted equally, which is precisely what is also currently happening in Australia too, as I discussed yesterday in my live stream. So it'll be interesting to compare and contrast my data from the UK with Australia down the track. But meantime, this whole concept of disadvantaged areas and disadvantaged households being crushed seems to be a theme that is being played out in the UK and in Australia too. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.